Good morning, beloved ones. Before I even do our greeting, let's thank Dennis, our very own Dennis Turner. Yes. We have such talent in this church, you know, and people who are always willing to step up, and our choir and the Richard Payne Trio, as you all know, they're taking the month of August off so that they can rest and renew and come back and serve us with great joy and energy. And so Dennis is filling in for us for this week, and we're grateful and thankful for your willingness to step up and show out. Yes. So give him some love again. As a matter of fact, I'm always so blessed and so thrilled and so happy when you all show up. When you step up and you show up and you show out. So turn to somebody and tell them thank you for stepping up, and showing out. Thank you for stepping up, and showing out. Yes, thank you for stepping up, and showing out. Yes, yes. Thank you, thank you. Because we have to be here for one another, correct? We come together as a spiritual community that we may touch each other's hearts and minds, that we may support each other, affirm each other, right? And to also recognize the Spirit of God, not only in this place, but in this place and in the hearts and minds of each of us. It's a beautiful thing to be able to do that for one another, to remember and recognize the source of our good, the source which is God, and to see that in each other. Namaste, I see and recognize the God in you, greets and recognizes, you know, the God in me. So wonderful, wonderful. I thank you in advance for your service, for your love, for your consciousness, for your spirit that makes this such a special place to be. As you can probably tell, I'm still riding a little high from my trip to India this past couple of weeks. And my heart still feels very opened, and I'm loving my life right about now. You know, I'm loving my life right about now. And so, you know, I was thinking of last week's message on the heart of the matter. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, well, what's a little heart without some soul, right? What's a little heart without some soul? You know, we started with the scripture. We worked with the scripture last week where we were told the only commandment that Jesus gave us was that we should what? Love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and some versions say with all of your might, with all of your strength. But the point is that we are to love God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our might. But we start with heart. So last week we were just working with the quality and the nature of our heart. You have to start with the heart. But the next phase of that formula for being in compliance with this commandment, because we want to be in compliance, right? The next step is, after loving God with all of your heart, would be to love God with all of your soul. So you have to have some heart, but you also have to have some soul. Heart and soul, they go together like birds of a feather. Heart and soul, right? So they go together, they belong together. And I want us to look this morning with this whole concept of soul, or the soul, because the word soul carries with it so many meanings. It has a plethora of meanings, right? Culturally, soul, or to have soul, could mean that you have some swag. You got soul, you got some swag. It could mean you have some rhythm. Because when you have soul, you have some rhythm, right? Or you have a deep feeling. If you have soul, you have a deep feeling for life. You're cool, smooth, right? full of soul. Culturally, spiritually, the word or name or word of soul could be as varied as the many religions that speak of it. Everybody is going to have a different definition of soul according to their either theology or their concept or their approach. And someone said, well, that's not the definition. So we define it as this. And I always say, you know, it's all right. As long as your understanding and your definition fits the construct in which you have your faith and your belief, great. So it only becomes problematic when we say this is the only way to view a particular thought. This is the only way to view a definition, whether it be of God, of love, or whatever it is. So, you know, here's a definition that the dictionary gives. The dictionary says that it defines soul as the spiritual or immaterial part of a human being or an animal. And I thought it was cute that they put an animal in there, because there's a big debate whether animals have souls. You know, I believe that they do. I believe everything that's living has a soul. And you'll understand why I would say that. But because they feel too, right? They feel pain. They feel joy. They're happy to see you. There's a presence there of some type. So it defines soul, the dictionary, the spiritual or immaterial part of human being or animal regarded as immortal. You know, I know some religions talk about your immortal soul. Okay. It's the spiritual part of humans as distinct from the physical part. So we like to say spirit, soul, and body. Or sometimes we'll say spirit, mind, and body. But the soul is that middle part between your spirit and your physical being, your body. Now, unity has a bit more of a metaphysical definition, because that's the framework, the construct from which we come, how we see things, with a little metaphysical twist, meaning that it's going to have something to do with your level of consciousness. So we say that the soul is the sum total of awareness, or more aptly, that it is connected to consciousness. Your soul is made up of all levels or all points of your ability to be aware of something. All levels of thought, all levels of your feeling, all levels of your attitude, your perceptions, your values, and how you see things makes up your consciousness, which makes up your soul. They become a part of your being. Spirit, mind, body, spirit, soul, and body. It's a very vast part of who you are. Now, just as your heart, as we talked about last week, your heart plays a significant role in your expressions and in the experiences of your life, so too does your soul. Because the quality of your soul is related to the quality of your consciousness. And one of the things that we like to say in New Thought or in Unity is that life is consciousness. It's a reflection. What you see out here is a good indication of what you are holding on to in here, right? What you see manifesting in your experience is a good indication of the thoughts and feelings and attitudes and values and perceptions that you are holding in your consciousness. So turn to somebody and tell them, I am what I think about all day long. I am what I think about all day long. Yeah. Right? I am what I think about all day long. You can't be anything other than what you are thinking about, what you are seeing, what you are holding. All day long. So it's very important, just as we were aware of last week, what we were letting into our hearts, so too must we be aware of what we let into our consciousness, into our soul, because it's very, very important. Your soul is immortal. You take all this energy, the essence of who you are and how you're showing up travels with you, right? And so it's very important. Even Jesus knew the value and the importance of your soul. Because he said, what does it profit a man or a woman to gain the whole world but lose his soul? That's how valuable it is. He said, oh, you could get, what would it be for you to gain, have everything, all the riches and everything, but you lost your soul. So it is not all of the outer things that matter most, but it is the quality of your inner world. What is taking place in your inner world? And the challenge becomes sometimes is that we are unaware very often of our inner world. We really are not conscious or conscious of our thoughts and our feelings and our attitudes. We have them. A myriad of thoughts pass through our mind, but we're not necessarily conscious of them. It's almost like we're like Pavlov's dogs. We're responding and reacting. Somebody says something, pushes a button, and it's a response that comes out. Very seldom are we doing original thinking. Are we giving something? It's a rehashing of what happened before. It's all about the groove that we have created in our brains because we have always said this and always done it this way. And so there's a groove. We don't even have to think anymore. We just let it come out. Right? And we're not present to what is taking place in our own mind. And so this is very significant and important for us because what we want to do is recognize, what am I letting in to my consciousness? And somebody says something, very unkind or untrue about you, and without filtering it, you simply let it into your consciousness. And once it's in, it's hard to get out. Maybe you're looking at the news or your TV or you're hearing something in the news or you're reading something and it's kind of negative. And again, without any kind of filter, you let it into your consciousness. The commercials come out and they say it's flu season and we let it into the consciousness. Well, we're laughing, but this is what we do, my dear. And they know that this is how the mind works. Subliminally, all we have to do is keep saying something to you underneath, and you pick it up and let it in. You let it in, right? There are so many thoughts that enter into our consciousness without our conscious permission and forethought. It's very important. And once in, it begins to wreak havoc in our lives. And then we don't understand, why is this happening? Why is this coming? All of that. So just as we said that we must last week, we must guard our hearts with all diligence because out of it comes what? The issues of life. The same can be said for your consciousness, for it speaks to the quality of your soul. And your soul is extremely important, very valuable. So while we are profiting and gaining, in the world and doing all these wonderful things, never lose sight of what is truly important. Never lose sight. It's the soul. It's your consciousness. Because the body, you don't take the body with you. When we're done, the body remains and disintegrates. But your soul and your spirit are eternal, immortal. So we need to look at what's happening with soul and with spirit, okay? So when we say this, all right, we're going to profit. Now, what are you going to profit with? How are you going to profit with this, outer riches or inner riches? Because yes, we are meant to live the good life or a good life, but only with the understanding that it is all for naught if we are not able to touch that which gives us true value, that which gives true meaning to your life, true purpose, friends, family, relationships, connections. You see, you can have all the outer stuff. You can have it all. Cars, houses, money, all. You can have it all. But if you don't have the basic quality things of friends, families, relationships, connection, meaning in your life, then you don't have very much. You can fool yourself and say, I'll buy me some friends. And when you have money, fake friends are easy to find, right? But in your heart of hearts, you know that there's something's missing. It's not real. So we have to look at, all right, if I'm getting all this profiting and gaining, am I losing my soul? Let me concentrate on what really matters most to me and what is of value. There's another story in the scriptures found in Luke 12, 15 through 26. And it's about a rich man. And Jesus is speaking to the multitudes. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful, meaning he had a lot of stuff. He kept bearing lots of good fruit. And he thought to himself, saying, well, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? He had so many things, so much crop, that he didn't have enough room to store it. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. I'll build me some bigger, better, to store all my stuff. And he says, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Meaning you got enough goods stored away, that's good. Now you can just rest and relax and just live the good life. But God said to him, fool. Fool. He said, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will all these things be which you have provided? So it is he who lays up treasure for himself, and so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. In other words, you know, he was doing all this preparation about what he had in the outer, building his barns, hoarding his stuff so that he could make sure that he could plan. And that's not saying you shouldn't plan for your future. But you don't want to plan for your future while starving yourself in the present, not living your life in the here and the now, because life is not promised to anybody. Tomorrow may not come for you in this manifest form. So he says, fool, your soul is going to be required of you this evening. All right, so what this says is that one's life does not consist of the abundance of things he possesses. It's not the material realm that counts, but it is the spiritual realm. And when you get your soul, your consciousness in order, then you gain what is immortal. Then you gain what is truly lasting. You can't try to keep it. It was like the Israelites trying to keep the manna from heaven. Remember, they were going through the wilderness. And every day God provided manna from heaven for them. They didn't have to work for it. It was provided. But then they tried to store it up, right? Woke up, it was spoiled. You cannot do. In this moment is the fullness of God. Everything that is needed is present right here and now. We're sometimes so busy trying to get to the future that we can't know that God is now. God is a God of what? Of now. The provisions you need are here now. Life is to be lived what? In the now. And so the scripture says you got to be rich towards God first. Rich towards God. So if you can begin to fill your consciousness with high thoughts and spiritual perspectives, then you begin to gain something that's truly powerful and enriching and everlasting. See, Mr. Filmer used to say that their soul was filled with divine ideas, because an idea is the only thing that's lasting. See, if I destroy the idea of this podium, but if I destroy this podium, I can what? I can rebuild it again, because the idea of it is what? Lasting. Right? So we're trying to hold on to the thing itself. Let me hold on to this. Oh, this is precious. Oh, wait a minute. This is precious. And we make everything. These are things. And we forget what lays behind them. The spirit, the soul, the idea is important. So this is what we're doing there. How can we be rich towards God? Now, being rich towards God doesn't mean that you go off in a cave someplace and meditate all day long. That's a good idea, but if everybody did it, where would we be? Right? We all can't go off into a cave. It doesn't mean being rich towards God doesn't mean that you disengage from life or from connecting with each other. Being rich towards God doesn't mean that you are supposed to renounce the world, even though the spiritual realm is the important realm. It doesn't mean that you renounce the world and everything and everyone in it. It doesn't mean that you close down, you restrict yourself, you close off, because God doesn't require that of any of us. It's more about opening up to the presence of God. It's more about bringing God or a God consciousness or a consciousness of the divine into everything that you do, into all of your activities. Being God conscious actually helps your life to be fuller, for you to come alive, to be rich and full. It doesn't close you off. You're bringing a sense of goodness, of godness to all that you do and all that you are. See, it's not about taking away all of your badness, but bringing to life all of your goodness. See, it's a matter of perspective. And I know that there are some of my colleagues who focus on your badness. They want you to focus on getting rid of all the bad things. You're a sinner. You are a worm of the dust. You are not worthy. So we get rid of all that. Get rid of all that that's in you. Whereas, and you can do that, but why are you focusing on the limited and the negative? It's not about bringing the badness or getting the badness out. It's about bringing more of the goodness in. Right? Because you can try to fight the darkness and dispel it, but all you need to do is turn on the light. Right? Turn on the light. The light of God that is in you will dispel any negativity. So don't worry about, just bring in more light. Bring in more love towards yourself. Bringing in that God consciousness of who you really are. It's about having a deeper understanding and God of a God concept. See, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But our concept of God does evolve and it does change. As we evolve, we don't have the same God concept as we did maybe 2 million years ago when life was very different on the planet. Our awareness, our consciousness has evolved. So I'm asking you this morning, is your God concept based more on the Old Testament God who dispenses a lot of the don'ts, like in the 10th commandments, right? Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do that. Thou shalt not. So we're focusing on the doubt, moving all of that badness out, struggling with the badness. Or is your conscious concept of God more along the lines of the New Testament understanding, where Jesus didn't give us a lot of thou shalt nots, but he did give us the Beatitudes, right? The blessed are you if you do this. Not thou shalt not, but the blessings will come if you do this. So one is focused on the denial. One is, right, is more on denial, denial of the self. Don't do this, don't do that. Where the other, the Beatitudes, the beingness, is focused on the affirmation of the self, the building up of the self, the blessing of the self, as you work on transforming your consciousness, as you work on transforming your attitudes of being. In other words, it's all about getting or setting your mind right and your state of being right. The Old Testament commandments are about your doing. Don't do this and don't do that. The New Testament is about your being. Blessed are those who are. It's talking about the state of your being. And so many of us are struggling trying to get to doing things right, trying to make sure that our actions are right, when we should be looking at our beingness, being right in consciousness. Because you can't do right if you're not being right. Right? So a lot of times we try to do right But we haven't had a shift in heart and mind. See, Emily Cady says it this way. She says, doing is secondary to being. We want to do, and we haven't a clue how to be. Be first, then do. Because unless we transform our consciousness, our actions are going to remain the same. So we're all out here trying to write all the action, the behavior, without understanding the consciousness, the attitude of being that's important. So unless we bring head and heart together, the heart and soul in alignment, then we're not going to be able to release all this majesty, all this wonderful divinity, this divine potential that's within us. Head and heart must work together. So I say, spend some time becoming self-aware, seeing what is in your, take a look at what's in your consciousness. See the quality of thoughts that you hold for the most part, okay? Are they basically negative, judgmental? Are you argumentative, quarrelsome? Do you have strife in your life for the most part and it's always the other people that are at fault? Or are you positive, have a great outlook, loving, kind, open, generous? See, if you have more of the former, the negative, limited thoughts, then it's time to take hold and look at that, because those things are restrictive. And you want to look at how you can examine and search for the root of them and heal it, transform it, bring light there, bring light into your consciousness, light into your awareness. Because until you have some light, you're going to be struggling. Because it all boils down to, what are you feeding yourself, telling yourself? How do you view the world? How do you view life? You know, is the glass half empty or the glass half full? Everybody might say, oh, I think the glass is half full, but you live like it's half empty. Right? You really do. Or maybe you might say that you want to say that you're limitless, but you have so many limits that you have placed on yourself. I ask you to ask yourself, is the universe conspiring for your highest good? That is, bringing everything together for the good of yourself and the highest good of all concerned. Or is the universe a scary place to be? Right? Is the universe and everyone else against you? It all depends upon how you see it. If you think everybody's against you, that's your outlook of life. And guess what? You're going to draw that to you. Is your life restrictive in keeping things out, bad things out? That's hard to do. Keep everything, Or is it expansive, letting all good things in? I want to concentrate on letting the good things in. So what's the nature and the quality of your consciousness? How do you see your life? What needs to be transformed in your own being? So that's your inner work. But while you are doing your inner work and consciousness, I want you to make it easy. I want you to also bring heart into your being, which means while you work on consciousness, while you work on seeing what is really there in you, be kind to yourself. Be gentle with yourself. Be understanding with yourself. Loving towards yourself. In other words, bring your heart into your head. Bring your heart into your head and then begin to move from there. Bring your heart into your soul, into your awareness, and begin to live from there, to act from there, to do from there. But be. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all your consciousness, and with all thy might. Because if we can do that, if we can touch the divine with our heart and our soul, our heart and the head, then we will gain the strength, which is the last statement in this compliance of commandment. Loving God with all heart, mind, and soul will give you strength. You'll have the strength you need to meet life, to live life to its fullest. So I'm on a mission, and my mission, as I shared last week, and I hope you'll join me, is to love deeply, live fully, and enjoy my life completely. That's the goal. Because when I do that, when I can love deeply, loving God with all my heart, loving you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, I begin to live fully. And when I'm living fully in the presence of God, my life then is a joy. I begin to enjoy life. Head and heart, heart and soul, they go together like birds of a feather. So just know that I love you and I hold you in my heart and in the consciousness. I pray for everyone. I pray for this church. I pray for the energy and the whole place. Every Sunday before I step out, I set a consciousness that the Spirit of God will touch every heart, every soul, every mind, that it would lift you up, heal you, make the crooked places straight, do all the things that your hearts desire, and that you will have the awareness and the consciousness to first be right. And in being right, you will do right. Blessings. Blessings. Namaste. Namaste. Blessings. Thank you.